Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we do have a timely conversation lined up as we will cover macroeconomic developments, namely the February jobs report, which we received just a few moments ago. Joining me here on the line for today's conversation to review the data and talk a bit about the broader economy, glad to welcome back a senior U.S. economist from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Andrew Dubinsky. So, Andrew, thank you for dropping by on this Friday morning. We are recording on Friday, March 6th. Great to have you with us to share some insights.
No, it's great to be part of this discussion.
So with that, Andrew, let's begin with that February employment report, which we received just a short while ago. How did the data come in relative to CIO's expectations?
Well, I think there's no way to really avoid that this was a soft report, softer than our expectations, and I think softer than really everybody's expectations, where you saw weakness in the business survey with over 90,000 jobs lost in the month versus expectations of around 50 to 60,000 gains. And you saw also an uptick in the unemployment rate. Maybe not as big of a surprise, but together two pretty disappointing pieces of information. And it's, the context January was quite strong, and we saw some revisions to that strength. So a lot of the strength and the stabilization positive we saw last month seemed to be trimmed a bit, and it's really hard to dismiss the weakness to weather or seasonal adjustment distortions. It just looks like a soft print. You see a lot of negatives elsewhere. But it probably has some elements of payback from that surprisingly strong January number. And in situations like these, as a cliche, you should never put too much weight on one month. And that usually means smoothing through the data using a three-month average. And the new three-month average is around 18,000 jobs per month, looking at the private sector, which is certainly not great. And it's softer than the trend we saw through January, but it's around the bottom end of what's considered the break-even rate of job growth, just enough jobs to keep the unemployment rates stable. And our expectation is, we'd have stronger growth ahead that should improve those kind of job gains. Another reason to not really, extrapolate the weakness in this report is we just don't have indicators elsewhere like jobless claims showing lots of job losses. And so I think the cool-headed thing to do would be to say this is a weaker report than expected. It's probably exaggerating underlying trends. Let's step back. Things are stabilizing, but it highlights there's definitely some downside risk to the labor market.
With this latest batch of jobs data, Andrew, how would you characterize the health of the U.S. labor market, and how does that translate to the health of the broader U.S. economy?
Yeah, so I think the recent theme that people have used or expression is that we're in a low fire labor market. I think that's still the case, and so we're in a situation where those growth flows should roughly net out to a stable unemployment rate or stable to lower in the near future. And if you look at the unemployment rate, the underlying trend, if you put a three-month average on it, it's still stabilizing or trending lower. And I think the thing we just need to remind ourselves is that the demographics with much lower immigration have changed. So just the overall job growth numbers that we're going to see going forward are going to be lower. So they may stay in this 50,000 or so range. And so that's definitely an uptick from the recent three-month average. And that's enough to keep the unemployment rate stable. And our expectation is we should get firming demand for labor and for hiring with the pretty strong growth outlook that we expect. So we're expecting growth to be solidly above 2% for the whole year. And possibly close to 3% in the first half, with the benefit of a lot of different tailwinds from fiscal stimulus and looser financial conditions, unwind of the government shutdown, all coming together, and that should definitely help improve the demand outlook for labor. So I would say we're modestly optimistic that these trends should improve.
Now, if we do turn to next week, we have another round of inflation data due out. What are your expectations for this upcoming round of inflation data? And what does the inflationary environment in the U.S. currently look like? I'm mindful of the ongoing geopolitical developments in the Middle East, the impact to oil prices, and how that consideration may in turn impact inflation data in the months ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So the way I would describe it is, the past few months have been horrible for data watchers to really infer the trends with inflation, because we've had the government shutdown affecting the data in terms of not having data, and then leading to some distortions towards the end of the year. So it's been really hard to see the underlying trends. And then January, we had a really hot print, which is common given the historical patterns for residual seasonality. And the expectation is that we see a pretty sizable step down in the monthly data for February at least in the core report. So core inflation was around 30 basis points in January. We're expecting it to step down into the low 20s. And a couple of the themes that we are always looking for is, what do we see in goods and what do we see in services? So we're just generally expecting still firm goods inflation as we see the last third or so of tariff effects to play out. And goods inflation on a year-over-year basis is still running a bit over 1%, which is well above, or at least a percent above, what the trends were pre-COVID. And we're expecting that to peak soon and improve in the second half of the year. And then, of course, the other category we look at very closely is services inflation. Now, services inflation has been positive. It's been trending lower, and it's been benefiting from a much softer rental market. And so we're expecting to see further disinflation in measures of shelter, and even move below where we were pre-pandemic. And then other parts of services that aren't linked to housing should remain fairly contained, because we're seeing wage inflation, a key input to services, remain around 3.5% in occupationally adjusted measures of wages, which is a wage growth that's consistent with 2% inflation adjusting for productivity. So putting it all together, tariffs are keeping inflation elevated, particularly in goods. This report should definitely be softer than last month. But one theme that you raised that probably isn't really going to be a big part of this report is energy. So energy prices will be firmer versus January, but we're really going to see this big pickup in oil prices in next month's report. So the rules of thumb that we really think about for CPI is, for every $10 change in oil, there's around a 40 basis point change in headline CPI. And it's mostly coming through motor fuel in the headline index. And there's a very small contribution to core inflation. That contribution could be around as little as 5 basis points. And that's not showing up in the next month, but really spread out over several months. So March is going to be the month where we see headline inflation take a pop from energy, and some smaller residual effects on core throughout throughout the rest of the year if the oil price increase is really sticky. And that's obviously something we're going to watch to see just how persistent, how large these oil price moves are. It's not only inflation issue; it could be a growth issue. And our rules of thumb for the way it affects growth is that something around for every $10 change in oil prices, we could see about a 7 to 10 or 12 basis point drag on growth, and that comes mostly through people spending less because they have less real spending power. And then a key question is, do we see some offsetting business investment, which is harder to predict in this environment? It really depends on how persistent the oil price change is, but that's some, you know, a modest drag on growth if we see these prices stick. So not something that really dramatically changes the growth outlook.
Well, a lot there to monitor. And Andrew, thank you again for dropping by Top of the Morning to spend some time today with our listeners and clients covering the inflationary environment here in the U.S., along with the state of the U.S. labor market. I do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thank you. Really glad I could contribute.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.